Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Thankful, grateful, and as always, blessed to be with you this morning as we move forward in our Word of God. And as always, it is a great word because God is speaking this morning. Hallelujah. God is speaking this morning. And the word that I was given for this morning is coming out of 1 Corinthians, and it's this: glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. I got to say that again. Glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. God's in charge of everything. We are his creation. He is the potter, and we are his clay. And we need to remember who we belong to. When you're going through, remember, I belong to the Most High God. Whew, in your good, I belong to the Most High God. In your bad, I belong to the Most High God. And in your downright ugly, I still belong to the Most High God. And when you are attacked, whew, hallelujah, we got to remember the name of Jesus. Demons do flee at that name, that great name. Hallelujah, that great name of Jesus. When you are under attack, just call on that name, Jesus, and they will flee. They will flee. Praise the Lord today with me. Hallelujah. Father God in heaven, I come to you right now, asking you to forgive me of anything I have committed in thought, in word, in deed, seen, and unseen. Father God, for you are the potter and I am your clay. Use me, Lord God, in the way that you need me to go. Show me and guide me, Lord God. Increase as I decrease, Father. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my humble heart be acceptable in your holy and divine sight. For you, Lord God, are my strength. You, Lord God, are my redeemer. You, Lord God, are my everything. I lift this word up to you, Lord God, asking you to guide me through it, asking you to speak through me, that those that hear me hear you. In the name of Christ Jesus, my Lord and Savior, whew, hallelujah, in whose name I call on the name of Jesus this morning, asking for you, Lord Jesus, to cover your brothers and your sisters with your blood of salvation, that those that hear this word will say, what must I do to be saved? And that is to believe in the Savior. Believe in our Savior, Jesus Christ, that he is the Son of God, that he died on Calvary's cross for our sinful sin, and that we are loved. We are cherished. We are special to the Most High God. Father God, I give myself away for you to use me this morning. Use me, Lord, for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's get into our word this morning. We are coming out of Job chapter 39, starting at verse 1, through Job chapter 40, verse 24. We are coming out of the 101st Psalm, verses 1 through 4, Proverbs 23, verses 29 through 30, and 1 Corinthians 6, 1 through 20, which is where our title is coming from this morning. Let's get started. It is a great word, and as I said, our Father God is speaking this morning. And he started on yesterday speaking to Job and his friends. He had to just give them a little understanding of who he was. And, you know, and I love the word it says, and the Lord answered Job. And this is Job chapter 38, verse 1. God speaks Job out of the whirlwind. God speaks to his people through his word, through other believers in circumstances, in dreams, in visions, by angels out of whirlwinds, and even through donkeys. Are we listening? I love you. Thank you, Dr. Stanley, for that life lesson. And so I love this question. It says, where were you when I, this is God speaking, laid the foundation of the earth? Whew. Is it good to remind us, it is good to remind ourselves that the Lord is God and we are not. He is the creator. We are the created. He is the original. We are the image. He is our friend, but absolutely not our peer. So let's see what and hear what our Father has to say this morning. And as our Father is speaking, let us listen. Let me say, listen, listen, listen. We got to listen because Daddy God has something to say. And what he has to say is, do you know the time when the wild mountain goats bear young? Or can you mark when the deer gives birth? Can you number the months that they fulfill? Or do you know the time when they bear young? They bow down. They bring forth their young. They deliver their offspring. Their young ones are healthy. They grow strong with grain. They depart and do not return to them. Who set the wild donkey free? Who loosed the bonds of the Arnagar? Whose home I have made the wilderness and the barren land his dwelling. He scorns the torment of the city. He scorns the torment of the city. And we're going to go real quick and see what an Onagar is. And it says an Onagar or a Negri is also it's an Asiatic wild donkey or ass. And it says, a near-threatened wild ass, and it's inhabiting in Southwest Asia and formerly distributed all through the Middle East and Eastern Asia. The Onagar is one of the fastest mammals, able to run and sometimes exceed 40 miles per hour. And unlike most donkeys and horses, it has never been domesticated. An ancient and medieval military catapult for throwing stones, but we know that it is this wild donkey that has never, did you catch that, never been domesticated. 40 miles an hour it can run. Who do you think is in charge? And I love it, says, I love this word again. Who sets the wild donkey free? Who loosed the bonds of the Onagar? Whose home I have made the wilderness and the barren land is dwelling. He scorns the torment of the city. He does not heed the shouts of the driver. The range of the mountain is his pasture, and he searches after every green thing. Will the wild ox be willing to serve you? Come on now. God is asking a question. Will he bed by your manger? Can you bind the wild ox in the furrow with ropes? Or will he plow the valley behind you? Will you trust him because it's, or will you leave your labor to him? Will you trust him to bring home your grain and gather it to your thrashing floor? The wings of the ostrich wave wildly, but are her wings, the pinions like the tiny stork. For she leaves her eggs on the ground and warms them in the dust. She forgets that a foot may crush them or that a wild beast may break them. She treats her young harshly as though they were not hers. Her labor is in vain without concern because God deprived her of wisdom and did not endow her with understanding. standing. When she lifts herself on high, she scorns the horse and its rider. Have you given the horse strength? Have you clothed his neck with thunder? Can you frighten him like a locust? His majestic snorting strikes terror. He paws in the valley and rejoices in his strength. He gallops into the clash of arms. He mocks at fear and is not frightened. Nor does he turn back from the sword. The quiver rattles against him. The glittering spear and javelin, he devours the distance with fierceness and rage. Nor does he come to halt because the trumpet has sounded. At the blast of the trumpet, he says, aha! He smells the battle from afar, the thunder of captains and shouting. Does the hawk fly by your wisdom and spread its wings toward the south? Does the eagle mount up at your command and make its nest on high? On the rock it dwells and resides, on the crag of the rock and the stronghold. From there it spies out the prey, its eyes observe from afar, its young ones suck of blood, and where the slain are, there it is. Chapter 40 of Job. Moreover, the Lord answered Job and said, shall the one who contends with the Almighty correct him? He who rebukes God, let him answer it. Because we know Job was talking a whole bunch of stuff. If I had a court, if I could talk, if I could this, if I could that. Okay, now is your opportunity. Speak to God and see and tell God what you got to say. But what did Job tell God? Then Job answered the Lord and said, behold, I am vile. What shall I answer you? I lay my hand over my mouth once I have spoken, but I will not answer. But yes, twice, but I will proceed no further. When the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, now prepare yourself like a man. I will question you, and you shall answer me. You know, we can talk a whole bunch of stuff, but understand, we will have an accounting from God. We will have to stand before him and justify our actions. Job had to say it. Behold, I am vile. What shall I answer you? I lay my hand over my mouth once I have spoken, but I will not answer. Yes, twice, but I will proceed no more further. And then the Lord said, yes, you are, because you got some thoughts and things to talk about here. So this is what God said. Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, now prepare yourself like a man. Come on now. I will question you, and you shall answer me. Would you indeed annul my judgment? Would you condemn me that you may be justified? Have you an arm like God? Have you an arm like God? Can you tell God what you're going to do? Why is this happening to me? Because I'm this, I'm that, I got this, I did that. Come on now. God is, don't play with God. Again, who do you think created us? We got to glorify God in our body and in our spirit because they all belong to God. You belong to God. I belong to God. Our bodies, our minds, our spirits, we all belong to God. And we can't tell him what to do. We can't tell him what to do. But I tell you this, he gave us the name of Jesus as a protection. We got to learn to call on him when the enemy comes at you in the middle of the night, when the demons come out to play. You got to learn to call on the name of Jesus, because I tell you, they will flee. And this is what the Lord said one more time. Now prepare yourself like a man, Job. I added the Job in there. I will question you and you shall answer me. Would you indeed annul my judgment? Would you condemn me that you may be justified? Have you an arm like God? Or can you thunder with a voice like his? Then adorn yourself with majesty and splendor, and array yourself with glory and beauty. Disperse the rage of your wrath. Look on everyone who is proud and humble him. Look on everyone who is proud and bring him low. Tread down the wicked in their place. Hide them in the dust together. Bind their faces in hidden darkness. Then I will also confess to you that your own right hand can save you. Now, look now at the behemoth which I made along with you. He eats grass like an ox. See now, his strength is in his hips, and his power is in his stomach muscles. He moves his tail like a cedar, and his shining of his thigh are tightly knit. His bones are like beams of bronze, his ribs like bars of iron. He is the first of the ways of God. Only he who made him can bring near his sword. Surely the mountains yield food for him, and all the beasts of the field play there. He lies under the locust tree in a covert of reeds and marsh. The locust trees cover him with their shade. The willows by the brook surround him. Indeed, the river may rage, yet he is not disturbed. He is confident, though the Jordan gushes into his mouth. Though he takes it in his eyes, or one pierces his nose, which nails. Whew! God, don't play. And for those that just joining this Moving Forward experience, you are listening to Blog Talk Radio, and this is Moving Forward with Minister Bridget. And we are coming this year out of the Charles F. Stanley Life Principles Daily Bible, Biblical Principles for Each Day of the Year. I am coming out of the New King James Version. And when I say, wow, this is a wow, 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 God is speaking. And he is not playing. He's telling us off, each and every one of us, not just Job, but all of us who think we can be God. We are not God, and we will never be God. Don't let anybody tell you, oh, you got the God in you, and you are just like God. No, we are not. That is not the truth. We are not God. God has given us strength. God has given us power. But God has also given us a heart that we depend on the Most High. And we pray through his son, Jesus Christ. We are not bigger or better, and we are not God. Yes, God gives you gifts. God gives you all kinds of things, but you will never be God. And don't let anybody tell you you are, and don't let folks be bowing down to you and telling you how wonderful you are either, because we are not idolaters. We got to understand who is God, and there's only one. Thank you, Jesus. There's only one Father, one Son, and the one Holy Spirit that God has given us inside. That Spirit, yes, that is a part of God giving us a little part of himself, but not making us him. Thank you, Lord. Now, that did not come from me. Let's keep it moving today, but I want to still give my disclaimer. As I say, this Bible is a must-have in your biblical arsenal. I am not paid by Dr. Stanley and Touch Ministries or anything. I give this as a gift because this has been a gift to me. It is, if you want a meditation Bible that you can read every day, which is what we're doing, you can join us every day, 7 a.m. Central Standard Time. I do not work on Saturdays. That is my day of rest. Thank you, Lord. But I can actually sleep in a little bit. God, or just listen to the word myself, which is what I do. Thank you, Morning Glory. And I just want to say this Bible is a must-have in your biblical arsenal. It is a must-have. It God, Dr. Stanley breaks it down with life lessons, life questions, life answers, what the Bible says, different things to help you comprehend whatever it is you're reading. And when I go back over some life lessons from what we just read this morning, it is so good because he breaks it down to us to help us to understand it. With his age, God has given him wisdom. And I can do nothing more than say thank you, Dr. Stanley, for this wonderful Bible and your commentary. It's the Bible. The Bible is the Bible. Cannot be changed, cannot be modified. It is the Word of God. And we know we got all kind of versions out there. I happen to like New King James, and the only difference between King James and New King James is some thems and thous, and maybe a slight update and an understanding of what the scripture is saying. But we have got to get a word in every day, because the Lord's word tells us to meditate every day on it. And I'm telling you, this word has touched my heart, and I hope that it is touching yours, because it's not Job speaking, it's God. And we all have had our moments where we had to say, behold, I'm vile. We can't even answer God. All we can do is repent. All we can do is say, forgive me, Lord. We all have been there. And this is what Dr. Stanley says for that word. Behold, I am vile. What shall I answer you? Even a blameless and upright man sees himself as vile when confronted by the majestic holiness of Almighty God. Yet we can come boldly into God's presence when we come in faith, come on now, wrapped in Christ's righteousness. Job chapter 40, verse 4. Job chapter 40, verse 8. Would you condemn me that you may be justified? We may not always understand God's ways, but we must never presume to judge God's ways. He is a God of truth and without injustice. Righteous and upright is he. Deuteronomy 32 and 4. We got to know who God is. God, come on now, of truth, without injustice, righteous and upright is our Father God. Who are we to tell him what to do? We got to speak. We got to talk. We got to humble ourselves before the Lord. We got to pray in Jesus' name, believing and trusting that God's way is the best way for us. And yes, he may not come when you want him, but he is always on time. He's an on-time God. As what Dotty people say, he's an on-time God. Oh, yes, he is. He may not come when you want him, but he'll be there right on time. He's an on-time God. Yes, he is. But we got to believe that because he is on time, always on time. Hallelujah. Thank you, Sister Dottie. And when we get into our psalm, we're in our 101st psalm, verses 1 through 4, and it is a psalm of praise. I will sing of mercy and justice to you, O Lord. I will sing praises. I will behave wisely in a perfect way. Oh, when will you come to me? I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. I will set nothing wicked before my eyes. I hate the work of those who fall away. It shall not cling to me. A perverse heart shall depart from me. I will not know wickedness. And this is what Dr. Stanley tells us in the life lessons from the 101st Psalm, verse 2. I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. It's one thing to behave in a godly way in public when you know many eyes are watching. It's another to reflect his goodness and righteousness at home, where only family members see God calls us to boast. You can't be out at church on Sunday. Oh, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. But home cussing everybody out talking about everybody going to the phone and talking about what Sister Susie wore today and called herself a greeter. Girl, she looked a hot mess. Girl, and you know, boo-boo and then had the nerve to come into the house of God when they know how they act at home. Girl, honey, I can't stand them every expletive, but you're going to talk about boo-boo and them down the street who came to church today because they're looking for salvation. But you didn't go to church to be right and righteous, but everybody thought you was, oh, look at Sister June. She looking so good, girl. Look, girl, she is so good. She's so holy. She's so righteous. I just love me some Sister June. But understand, Sister June is at home after church talking about everybody like dogs, talking about how the pastors were. I was offended. I did not like what she had to say. She gets on my last nerve. Okay. And at church, hallelujah, praise the Lord. Lord, I love you. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, girl, so Susie, you look so good. Boobie, girl, you don't know how much I cried to get you to church today. I've been praying for you, boy. I've been praying for you. Okay. As you're talking about them, cussing out your kids, cussing out your grandkids, cussing out everybody, talking about your mama, talking about your daddy, talking about your sisters and your brothers and sisters and friends and everybody else. We just having a good time at home, vilifying everybody in the church. But come Sunday morning, you the best thing, you Mama June, you all that, you so good. But understand, God is watching everything we do. I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. And as Dr. Shelley says it one more time, it's one thing to behave in a godly way in public when you know many eyes are watching. It's another to reflect his goodness and righteousness at home where only family members see. God calls us to both. We can't be hypocrites. We can't talk about loving God and then not opening our doors to our brothers and our sisters. We can't talk about loving God but hating our mother and our father. We can't talk about loving God but talk about our neighbors like they are dogs. We can't say we love God and talk about our pastors and vilify everybody that walks through the doors of the church. And talk about your church family when you're home, cussing everybody out, taking it to the phone, and talking about everybody that is call all the folks that have left the church to tell them how horrible the church is to get you in there. Come on now. God sees it all. 101st Psalm chapter 3, it says, verse 3, I will set nothing wicked before my eyes. And this is what Dr. Stanley said. How many affairs begin with just a harmless thing? How many thefts start with an envious gaze? How many addictive habits get rolling with prolonged exposure to the wrong thing? We better understand that our ears, our eyes, and our mouth take everything in. They take it all in. They take it all in. The only thing that lets something else out is this little mouth that we have. And it's that little teeny thing behind our teeth called a tongue. Now, the mouth can let out some stuff, but the ears don't let anything out. The eyes don't let anything out. They take everything in. The mouth is the only thing that takes it in but can also let it out. And when it lets it out, it can be sometimes some pretty vile stuff. So we got to be careful what we allow to come out from behind these teeth, from this little membrane called a tongue. Because when the tongue is done, you can't speak. The tongue is what allows things to come out of the mouth. So we need to make sure that what's coming out is positive and it's coming from God. Lifting up, not tearing down. Hallelujah. In Proverbs 23, verses 29 through 30, who has woe? Who has sorrow? Who has contentions? Who has complaints? Who has wounds without cause? Who has redness of eyes? Who those who linger long at the wine. Come on now. Those who go in search of mixed wine. In other words, when we get to be drunkards and you overindulge, who has woe? Who has sorrow? Who has contention? Who has complaint? Who has wounds without cause? Who has redness of eyes? Those who linger long at the wine. Those who go in search of mixed wine. Wow. And I think back in my day, they called it wino. And we don't want to be a wino. And a wino is not just a drinker, but those that get too caught up in whining. We got to quit whining, and we got to quit being overindulgent. We got to get overindulging anything. We got to trust God in everything. Hallelujah. And Lord, I thank you for that word. It is for me. Hallelujah. God will give you a word just for you. Trust God in everything. Again, who do we belong to? We don't belong to ourselves. Who do we glorify? We glorify God in our body. We glorify God in our spirit, because both are God. We are God. We belong to him. He is the potter, and we are his clay. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Dare any of you, having a matter against another, go to law before the unrighteous and not before the saints? You cannot know that the saints will judge the world. And if the world will be judged by you, are you unworthy to judge the smallest matter? Do you not know that we shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life? You have judgments concerning things pertaining to this life. Do you appoint those who are least esteemed by the church to judge? I say this to your shame. It is so that there is not a wise man among you, not even one, who will be able to judge between his brethren. But brother goes to law against brother, and that before unbelievers. Now, therefore, it is already an utter failure for you that you go to law against one another. Why do you not rather accept wrong? Why do you not rather let yourselves be cheated? No, you yourselves do wrong and cheat, and you do these things to your brethren. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, not my word, the word of God, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor extortionists will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. Come on now. But you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus by the Spirit of our God. All things are lawful for me, but all things are not helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Food for the stomach, and the stomach for food. But God will destroy both it and them. Now the body is not for sexual immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. And God both raised up the Lord and will also raise us up by his power. Excuse me. And it goes on to tell us, do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of a harlot? Certainly not. Or do you not know that he who is joined to a harlot is one body with her? For the two, he says, shall become one flesh. But he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. Are you joined to the Lord this morning, family? Are you joined to the Lord? And then it goes on to say, flee sexual immorality. Every sin that a man does is outside the body, but he who commits sexual immorality sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you were brought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God. And that is our word for today. We have a couple of life questions. We have some life questions and a couple more life lessons from our first Corinthians chapter 6 word. And let's get to it. And it says this in our life question. Is there a limit to God's forgiveness? And it says this, do you ever ask yourself, have I committed the unpardonable sin? Can I ever be free of the weight of this guilt? Will God forgive every sin? I have good news, and this is from Dr. Stanley, and I thank God for this awesome man of God. And it says, I have good news for you. Your loving Heavenly Father will forgive you of all your sins. You can be released today from your sins if you will do God's will. The Apostle Paul dealt with an instance of gross sexual immorality in the Corinthian church. A man was sleeping with his stepmother. Against that backdrop, Paul wrote, do not be deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. But you were washed by, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Corinthians 6, 9 through 11. This passage holds three great messages for us. The first one, if you want to get a piece of paper to write these down. This passage holds three great messages for us, and the first is this. It tells us that sin is sin. God doesn't differentiate between one type of sin and another. Most of us wouldn't consider slander in the same sin boat as sin, but sin is sin. Come on now. You know, we have so many folks that want to talk about the LGBTQ community, and they are this and they are that. Excuse me. You're not talking about your own adulterous self. You're not talking about your own fornicating self. You're not talking about your own judgmental self. We are so quick to talk about everything and everybody else instead of doing some self-evaluation. I can't judge anybody. Only one that's going to judge anyone is God, and I'm saying it. Even though Paul says we judge and this and that, no, God is going to judge us all, and he's going to judge us all equally. How do you treat your fellow man? We understand. And how can you say, as you talk about everybody else, as you are putting some person on a pedestal, that you would go and die for that person? That is idolatry. If you are putting that person in your pulpit more than you are putting God in your pulpit, that's idolatry. God is watching everything. We cannot judge anybody until we look at ourselves. And as we go forth, it says, second, it tells us that sin is a lifestyle, a state of being. Paul declared that sin had been the identity of the Corinthians. Sin had been their all-consuming character. Paul called them former thieves, people who had stolen as a way of life. He didn't say some of you had one too many drinks on occasion. He said some in the Corinthian church was drunkards. Sin isn't just something you do. Whether it's sinful, it is something you are from birth. We were all born in sin. Tell the truth. and shame that wicked devil. But we all got to stand up and say, I have sinned, and Lord, forgive me. Because we are not perfect. Third, it tells us that all types of sins can be forgiven. Paul declared, and such were some of you. And when Paul reminded them that they were no longer who they had been, but they had been washed, sanctified, and justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of God, the Corinthians, as sorry a group of sinners as ever, came together as a church, found a new life and a new identity in Christ Jesus. Nothing is beyond God's forgiveness. No sin is too great or too awful for God to forgive. No person is so deep in sin, so ingrained in a wicked lifestyle, so steeped in evil that he or she cannot be saved. We can all be saved. None of us are beyond redemption. We got to stand firm on the word of God that I am washed, I am sanctified, I am justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior. By the Spirit of God, I am new, I am different, I am made whole. We are children of God, and we got to stand on his word that he said he forgives us. God is a forgiving God. God is a loving God. And God can do all things but fail. Hallelujah. Who am filled up? And it goes on to tell us it's life lessons in 1 Corinthians. Thank you, Dr. Stanley. All things are lawful for me, but all things are not helpful. Come on now. Paul had no interest in allowing the simple patterns from which he had escaped through God's grace to enslave him again. He didn't ask what's wrong with it as much as what's right with it. Something has gone dreadfully wrong with someone who professes faith in Christ continues to live according to the same sinful pattern exhibited before salvation. Ooh. 1 John 2:4, and we're going to go there real quick. In 1 John 2:4, go with me to 1 John 2, and we're going to go down to 4, but we're going to actually go to 3. The test of knowing him is the title. You know, our word has a little title. It says, now by this we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. His commandments. He who says, I know him, and does not keep his commandments is a liar. And the truth is not in him. Did y'all catch that? Let's say it again one more time. He who says, I know him and does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But verse 5, but whoever keeps his word tells the love, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in him. Verse 6, he who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk just as he walked. Whew. And one more time, verse 7. Brethren, I write no new commandment to you, but an old commandment which you have had from the beginning. And I love this word. The old commandment is the word which you heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write to you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away, and the true light is already shining. He who says he is in the light and hates his brother is in darkness until now. He who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him. But he who hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness and does not know where he is going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. Wow. Whew. Again. Let's go there with what Dr. Stanley has to say. Paul had no interest in allowing the simple patterns from which he had escaped through God's grace to enslave him again. He didn't ask what's wrong with it as much as what's right with it. something has gone dreadfully wrong when someone who professes faith in Christ continues to live according to the same simple patterns exhibited before salvation. What does the Word of God tell us? In John 2:4, about a commandment, he who says he knows him and does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Don't come up with, oh, I follow the commandments, when you're having idolatry in your spirit. And you're worshiping somebody, something, somewhere, you know, place, person, place, or thing, you worshiping. Come on now. Idolatry. You're messing around with somebody else's husband. You're messing around with somebody else's wife. Adultery. Come on now. What did it say? You're hating on your mama and your daddy, not honoring your father and your mother. Oh, I got to wash my car. Oh, the football game is on. Oh, no, the Cardinals are doing great. I got to watch the Cardinal game today. I can't go to church. I know it's the Sabbath, you know, but the game is on. And, you know, I'm sorry. The Bears are playing, and the quarterback field is doing the thing. I'm sorry. I got to watch the Bears today, and they come on at 11, and church starts at 11, but the Bears, they doing it. I'm going to stay home. I'll watch the church service later on YouTube. I'll go to Facebook and watch church later. Sorry, church is not on YouTube or on Facebook today. So you're missing out on a great service because you chose the game. Gosh, I have no other God before me. Remember the Sabbath, keep it holy. Let me taste this grape by this strawberry, because I don't want to be buying nothing that don't taste good. I think that's stealing. Ooh. We can kill. We can steal. We can destroy with our mouth. And how many times have we spoken and said some things that were hard to other people, that hurt them to their core, and we didn't care? We stole their joy. We killed their peace. And we got to be careful what we do, because the power of death and life is in this little tongue behind our teeth. So we have to be very careful what we say, and that we have to keep the commandments. Because we don't want to be liars and no truth in us as men and women of God. And in 1 Corinthians 6:20, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God. All sin separates us from God. Several sin damages and sabotages very physical process that keeps life going. It also tends to wrap the human character at a very deep level. No Christian should ever say, it's my body, I can do what I want with it. Oops, damn. No believer owns his or her body. Christ paid for it with his own blood on the cross. It belongs to him. I belong to Jesus, and he belongs to me. That's why when you call on his name, when you are under attack, when you call on the name of Jesus, demons flee. When you call on the name of Jesus, things change, because this body is his. Hallelujah. Glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God. Give God glory today. Thank him for another day. Be thankful, be grateful, and know that you are blessed to be children of the Most High God. That is our word for this morning. Thank you, God, for this magnificent word today. Whew, hallelujah. Thank you, God, for you spending some time with me this morning. And as we go on with our word from our sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn, good morning. Just because part of your life is over doesn't mean your life is over. God has a brand new season for you. Hallelujah. God has a brand new season for me. God has a brand new season for you. Just because I get a certain age, another milestone, that means that my time on this earth is over. Hallelujah. It's not quite time for me to fly away, because I know when my time is coming, God's going to take me away, and I'll be ready. But until then, I thank God for the opportunity to be with you, and I just got to say again, Sister Carol is alert for this morning, just because part of your life is over, whatever that part may be, 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, marriage to widowhood. I have to know that God has a brand new season for me. And I'm going to have a wonderful Wednesday. I'm going to enjoy my day. And I will not allow the enemy to put his stumbling blocks before me. Hallelujah. I'm going to stand up and do what God says to move. Hallelujah. Move today, y'all. Move, move, and move some more, knowing that you are moving forward with God. And before we get out of here, our prayer for this 24th day. Psalm of heaven. How abundant are the good things that you have stored up for those who fear you, that you bestow in the sight of all on those who take refuge in you. Hallelujah. And what is our word for this morning? Glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God. God, my refuge. You are the shelter I run to in the storms of life. You are never far away. I am so grateful for the safety I find in you. You can't be moved or shaken. You are the rock of my salvation, my firm foundation. You generously give out of the abundance of your goodness to all those who come to you for refuge. You don't secretly build us up. You do it plainly for everyone to see. In your wisdom, you give everyone their portion. How great is the love you freely pour out. I'm getting all teary-eyed. I am overcome by emotion when I think about your great faithfulness. I see you at work in the lives of my friends and family, and I see you so clearly in my own. In your abundant gifts, I am more than satisfied. I will not be stingy in doling out my own for the consistent goodness of heaven in the gifts you placed in my life. Hallelujah, what a mighty God we serve out. And every time he starts, like Sister Carol's words, to work with our message for the day. And this is a word from God that this prayer says, the question for the day, what gift has God deposited in your life that are pure goodness? And all I can say is, thanking God for everything I have, for my family, for my children, for my grandchildren, from the love that I have from all, and I am thankful for God's grace that he has given me, and I hope you are grateful too. That's why every morning I tell God, thank you, that I'm thankful and I'm grateful and I'm blessed, because God has blessed me with another day. He has blessed me to do over and be better today than I was yesterday, to spend more time with him and not with the world. So I thank God for a do-over, and I pray that you have a do-over as well. Keep God first in everything you do, and watch God work in your life. Have a blessed and wonderful day, family. It's a wrap, because I got to go to work. I love you all so very much. And I pray, may the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent one from each other. In Jesus' name, I pray over you and yours. Have a blessed and glorious day, remembering that you are God. Glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God. This day, Lord, I thank you that I belong to you. Ooh, hallelujah. Thank you, God. Have a blessed day, family. It's a wrap.